employers need help with something. They want to hire you because they need to save money or make money, right? There's something going on in the company and they need some help, and they're telegraphing that. If you don't tell them how you can help them solve their problems, like, you're depriving them of the opportunity to hire you for that. They need you. So it's not bragging in a pejorative sense. It's just telling them, hey, I hear you. Here I am.
Welcome to Rochester Business Connections, powered by Baubert Marketing, LLC, where I get the chance to chat with Rochester, New York's very best business owners, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders. I am your host, Ben Albert. Don't forget to subscribe, and remember, we don't do advertisements. My fee for this show is simple. If you gain value from the episode, personally share with a friend and explain your favorite part. Let's get started. I am here with Ruth Sternberg. Ruth, how are we today? We were just saying, sunny day, beautiful, right?
I know, it's amazing. You know, I know it's a little cold, but I feel like I need to go out with one of those, you know, those things that we used to use when we were teenagers and just kind of vitamin D.
I love it. I have a lamp next to me. It's a vitamin D lamp because this time of year, you can't get, you know, too much of it. It's great. So I am excited to talk to you mostly because you are a career coach, right? At the core, you help people find jobs. Do you want to give us a bird's eye view on exactly what you do?
I work with job seekers who have not maybe been in a job search for a while, who've been in their careers for a while and have not really stopped often to take stock of how good they are at their work. And I help them regain their confidence so that they can sell themselves for another job. You know, maybe you've gotten laid off recently and you're just like, oh my God, I haven't done a resume in like 20 years, you know? And I also like to work with people who have what they consider to be problematic job histories. Maybe you've got a career gap somewhere. Maybe you changed industries. And also, I really like working with women because very often we do not feel comfortable talking about our successes. We just, for some reason, we've been taught not to own the good things that have happened. You know, we always say, I was part of a team. I can't take credit. Well, I have to tell them, you know, if you hadn't been there contributing, this great thing wouldn't have happened. So you need to own it.
Without a doubt. So people that are just new to job seeking after maybe 10, 15, 20 plus years, they're suddenly out of work, women, are these your perfect clients? Can you help pretty much anyone? Do you have an ideal client?
I would say that is my ideal client.
Right.
But
let's say I'm a 29-year-old male and I've only worked in one, you know, specific job for 3 years. I don't have a ton of experience. Am I a bad candidate?
No, because you've probably done more than you think you have. Hmm. So like, yes, I've helped people from many different levels, including new graduates.
Right.
And I think that people entering the workforce are luckier in some ways than many of us who've been around for a while, because they have a chance to be able to start documenting their progress and learning how to talk about themselves for the future. So that's great.
I love it. And yeah, let's dive right in. I always like to know, you know, what is your why? Because I believe if there's passion and purpose behind what you do, you can ultimately, you know, just be better at the end of the day and help your clients even more. Was there a moment in time in your life that you're like, this is the career track I need to go? Any experiences that kind of created a why for you?
For the work that I'm doing now?
Yeah, yeah. Or tell us a little bit of background maybe of what you did in your previous roles.
I started my career as a print journalist. I went to journalism school. I worked at several different papers and I covered a lot of different topics. I actually became a specialist in education reporting, K-12 education reporting. So, you know, I did a lot of stories on test scores and budgets and school funding and, you know, all the issues that come up. But I found that I really wanted to move in a direction where I could use my talents to make change in a more direct way. And so, excuse me, I left that profession and started to work for nonprofits and other businesses with community-driven missions. I started to write grants. I started to do some marketing typewriting. I also was an editor of a newspaper that covered the Jewish community where I was living at the time. I helped create the paper and ran it for a while until it was sold. That print business is pretty hard. But along the way in my career, I have always wanted to help people feel better about themselves. It's just, I guess it's just the way I'm wired. And so I've worked with people, many people over the years, just friends, friends of friends, family, helping them with their resumes, helping them try to figure out how they're going to answer interview questions, things like that. And I decided to go ahead and make it a business. So I got some additional certifications. I am a certified resume writer. I'm a certified interview coach, and I'm also certified in helping create LinkedIn profiles. And those are three of the main components these days of your marketing, your personal marketing strategy for your career. But because I've been a writer, because my career is in finding the core messaging and telling the compelling story, doing it for readers of publications, doing it for funders, I can do this for job seekers. And I have a vast amount of writing experience because I've been writing for 35 years. So, and I really enjoy it because the best part about this is when I see someone light up because they see themselves on paper, you know, and they realize how powerful they are and what they've done. And that's the goal here, is to really help people understand that they do bring value to an employer. They can help achieve goals and they've got evidence to support that.
Yeah, they bring value. They deserve the role. We just need to package it where they realize and the employer realizes that they are valuable and they do deserve that role.
Correct.
I'm one of those people that hate LinkedIn profiles. A lot of times I puke in my mouth a little bit when I read them because there's the auto-generated statements, you know, that take your skills that you typed in and take, you know, your previous experience and your education and just create an auto-generated statement with actually isn't bad. They're pretty smooth, but yeah, my LinkedIn profile, if anyone's read it, basically makes fun of those statements. That's beside the point. But I want to get into something actionable because a lot of my listeners are on LinkedIn and a lot of them utilize LinkedIn, but they might be doing something wrong. Do you have any tips or tricks to kind of revamp my profile today? And obviously having you in front of it, judging it is the best way to ensure that it's great. But anything quick I could do on my own, maybe my profile needs a little bit of love.
Well, you know, I hate it when people say, do you have any tips and tricks? Because, you know, it's really not about tricks.
Right. The word tricks, I agree with you for what it's worth.
No, I know.
It's just a slogan.
Just a buzz phrase.
Yeah.
I know. But
Thank you. Really, the
goal here is that on your profile, when you're looking for employment, and really in all of your materials and messaging, you want to telegraph that you understand what is needed in that industry or by that employer, what defines success for them, and how do you deliver, and how can you make that happen? So you want to use keywords that apply to that industry and may even have been used in that job posting. You want to speak their language. You want your headline on LinkedIn to say what you deliver. It should not be a description of you, right? Operations manager. That's what I see a lot, is just there's a title and that's it. Well, that doesn't tell me anything. Hmm. What is it you deliver? How much value do you bring? How do you help teams? Those are the kinds of things that you want. You want phrases that describe that sort of thing in your headline.
I love it. I'm thinking,
yeah, solving problems, or I don't know, driving $10 million profits, or, you know, whatever it is. You want to have those concrete things that you're able to deliver in your headline, because that's what the recruiters are looking for. And you also want it in your, there's a section called About, which used to be called the summary. Now, you want in that section to talk in a more well-rounded way about what you deliver in terms of your philosophy, maybe your leadership style. You don't want it to be, I see a lot of people who just paste their resume or some of the things off their resume into that. That's not what you want to do there. You're basically telling the reader, this is what I promised you're going to get if you hire me. Mm. You save the things on your resume for the sections that describe your individual roles when you fill those in.
Got it. So take a look at the job posting, look into the industry, use their keywords, talk as if you're already part of their culture. Is correct. The essence I'm getting.
Yeah.
And tell stories and use data that illustrate what you can do for them, but you don't want to like toot your own horn and sound arrogant or cocky while doing it, right? Or is there room for both?
Well, no, but if you are delivering a message that simply is a statement of fact that talks about things that you were able to achieve and just gives the numbers, that's not arrogance. That's sharing information.
Yeah.
You know, I tell job seekers, this isn't bragging, because employers need help with something. They want to hire you because they need to save money or make money, right? There's something going on in the company and they need some help, and they're telegraphing that. If you don't tell them how you can help them solve their problems, like, you're depriving them of the opportunity to hire you for that. They need you. So it's not bragging in a pejorative sense. It's just telling them, hey, I hear you. Here I am.
It's telling.
And the other
them.
Thing about, yeah. I just want to mention that the skills section is also, please, really important on LinkedIn. It is highly ranked by the search algorithm in LinkedIn. So you need to go into that section in your profile and check off the maximum 50 skills that are allowed.
That's something I had no clue. Obviously, if I've only been on Excel for a month and I'm still learning how to use it in college, I shouldn't mark myself as an Excel professional, right? I'm curious if there's certain skills that are highly sought after that if I have them, put them in. Can I lie about my skills? Obviously, I shouldn't.
Well, no, of course not. But every job is different, and there's no blanket answer to which skills you should be checking off. It all depends, true, on what your industry is. And so that's why it's important for you to do your research into the companies where you want to work. You know, you see what it is that they expect. How do they achieve what they do? What are their role postings say? Even look on LinkedIn at other people who work in those companies. What do their profiles say? What things are they emphasizing? You know, the idea on LinkedIn is that you want to get found. So you want to have the words in there that are going to show up in other people's searches, particularly recruiters who who use a very powerful version of the premium subscription so that they can actually put in keywords to search for the attributes necessary to fill these positions.
Yeah. What you just illustrated is the recruiters are looking for you.
Oh yeah. They
just want to be the one that's found. It's crazy. I'm in marketing, but I'm thinking SEO optimization. You want to optimize your profile where you're found, noticed, and discovered as a high quality candidate.
Oh, absolutely. You really want to do it with everything about your job search. Hmm. It isn't just your LinkedIn profile. You want your resume to also reflect the kinds of achievements that resonate with that reader from that company. You want to have metrics that show that you, that prove that you've achieved this deliverable that you're not bragging about, but that you've listed on your resume. And your cover letter, which by the way, you should have, because it is another piece of real estate for you to talk about yourself within. You really need to directly talk about how you can meet the requirements that they are mentioning and give some one or two examples of terrific things that you've done that line up with what they're looking for.
I love it. If anybody's listening to this, this last 5-10 minutes is gold. I hope you took notes. If not, go back, take notes. So I'm 29, I'm a millennial. If you're a young, thank God I found the right women by now in my life. But if you're if you're single, you should be taking notes, because the same thing goes in your dating profile. You want to be looking what's in it for them. Who do I want? Not what's in it for me. Braggadocious. What is the person I'm looking for? So if you're single, you should be taking notes. If you're unemployed, you should be taking notes. If you're hiring, you should be taking notes.
And even if you're in business, because it's never about you. It's always about the customer, right? In this case, the customer's the employer. A lot of people will say things like, I'm looking for a job that challenges me. You know, I'm looking for a place that has advancement opportunities. Now, those things aren't bad things to talk about later when you're asking questions about what the company has to offer. Maybe if they make you an offer and you want to ask about the benefits, et cetera. But initially, you want to make sure that everything that you're saying is about something that they need, not something you want. Mm. And really, I got to tell you, this stuff is not. What I'm saying might be obvious to some people, but it's not as easy as it sounds. This entire thing is an art form, because how your resume looks, how your different products look in your marketing packet, a lot of that stuff is very subjective. You know, it's not, people are always looking for these rules. Oh, it has to be this many pages and it has to say this and this. It's not really like that. What you're trying to do is you need to decide where you're aiming. You need to decide why you fit that role. You need to decide, how am I going to show that I know my stuff and can deliver? And then you have to decide, well, how am I going to tell that story? What am I going to say at the top of my resume to lead the reader through the document? What am I going to bold so they can see it? Am I going to put a pie chart in there, or some kind of table showing how I drove up sales? It's a decision. They're decisions about how you are going to present yourself in a way that you're going to stand out from the other candidates. That is really the art form in this. And the difficult part, it's difficult because people think, if I have a great resume, I'll get a great job. Sure, you need a good resume, but your resume isn't your job search. Your resume is a tool that you need during your job search. But your job search is really about researching where you want to go, finding out how you can talk to someone on the inside, getting recommended for an interview, right? You want to find those hiring managers. You want to be able to intelligently talk about the company. It's you want to do some networking. It's a lot of legwork. And sometimes if you hire help, shameless plug, from someone like me, we can work on your documents. You can meanwhile be out there talking to people, knowing with a huge degree of confidence that you're going to have some great pieces of marketing collateral to support your brand.
You're spot on. You know, it doesn't have to be hard at the core when it comes to the basics. You know, people hear some of the basic steps and they're like, oh, this doesn't sound that complicated. But I like that you brought in the fact that it is an art form. You want to get the basics, the foundation down, but then you really want to dive deep and really engage your impersonality into it, it sounds like. And I'm comparing it to dating, but you know, you don't want to be in a relationship. Yeah. You don't want to be in a relationship that doesn't have long-term sustainability. So if you're just looking at salary, if you just think your resume will do it for you, and you're not looking at the whole nuanced big picture of everything you need, you might not find the job that you want. And it sounds like it could be a lot of work for some people. That's where you come into play. They can be themselves and you can help position them to be in the right place for that job search.
This is correct.
Hey,
I gotta say that there's a whole crew of us who are highly trained to do this work. You know, if you go on LinkedIn, you will find a lot of us who know each other, who are out there and really, you know, we're in this business because we really care about what happens to you. Mm. You know, of course we get paid, but we want you to get a job. We want to try to help you feel more confident. So really right now, you know, like if you're watching this and you're thinking, oh my God, I'm so lost, or my son just lost his job or whatever it is, get on LinkedIn and start looking around at some of the professionals who are helping job seekers. Check out the National Resume Writers Association online. There's a directory on there of people who do this work.
Hmm. That's great. And at the end of the day, it doesn't at the core matter who you go with. What matters most is that you are getting help and you actually are being proactive. I like to say that because obviously if you're gaining value from Ruth, she is a source that you can go to, but not going to anyone at all is the mistake, right?
I think for many people it is. I'm not going to sit here and say that some of you out there can't do your own resume and everything, you know? I'm sure that there are people who totally get it and they can do it. That's great. But a lot of people make a lot of mistakes when they're trying to do this stuff. You know, they don't give enough information. They talk about themselves too much. Their resumes read more like a job description than a set of achievements. Mm-hmm. And also their resume might not be optimized to be read by an applicant tracking system, where you often have to submit your resume. There's just a lot of job searching. I like to say that job searching conceptually hasn't changed because it's all about people, knowing people, getting that recommendation, right? People hire people, it's who you know, old cliche. But some of the tools that we have, and the fact that we have social media and that things are so immediate and competition is so fierce, that stuff has changed. So it's good to get some help just so you're not grinding your wheels, because, you know, every week that you're out of work, you're losing money, or every week you're not getting that promotion, you're losing that extra money. So it's, give it some thought.
It's, you're losing both money and you're losing time. And you just used the term applicant tracking system.
Right.
I had never even heard of that before. So that's a sign that times are changing, I suppose, right?
Well, yeah. Well, applicant tracking software really is what it's
software. Called. Okay.
Yeah. Well, it's when you submit a resume, the intelligence there is scanning your document to find certain words, phrases, certain things that it helps the employer initially at least find viable candidates that they might want to screen to see if they want to bring people in. And, you know, it's a lot of people hate the ATS. I can understand why it's really useful though. You know, it helps cut down on other types of biases that a human might have from looking at a document.
Absolutely.
It helps. Because it's just about the words. But on the other hand, it's about the words, which means there are people who are really, really good candidates, but they don't get pulled out because they don't have the right words on their document. So it's kind of, I could see both sides. You know, you want,
it's 2021. I think it's good that we're trying to look at, you know, tracking and choosing applicants as objectively as possible. But that means that you need the big picture. You need the whole package. You want a good resume, a good profile, and a good interview. It sounds like you need a little bit of everything these days.
No, you really do. You do.
I want to tell you a short story.
Sure.
I'll give you the very short version. But in the late 60s, early 70s, I don't have a date on it. My grandfather and, you know, my father and my family basically moved here from Denver, Colorado to Rochester, New York. So I'm a big Broncos fan, but right now go Bills. They had a great year. They moved to Rochester, New York to help build the Jewish Community Center here. He was the director of the JCC in like the early 70s when they first started it. They stayed in Rochester, have lived here. Well, rest in peace to my grandpa. My grandma's here. My family has lived here ever since. I was born and raised here, so I love Rochester. I always shout out Rochester on this show. And I was happy to have you on the show in the fact that you're actually new to the area, which I look as a positive thing because not everyone locally knows you yet. But they should, right? So tell us what brought you to Rochester and maybe just a little bit of your experience since you've moved here quite recently, right?
Yeah, we're shooting this today on February 4th, 2021. And I have not been here quite 3 months. Yeah, I moved here with my husband from Columbus, Ohio. I lived there 25 years before coming here. My husband got a job here and we live right now. We are living in a home in North Greece. And I have honestly, with COVID, not gotten out much. We have gone to some of the parks to take walks because we like to be outside even in the winter. But we go to Wegmans. Yay, Wegmans.
Do you guys have a Wegmans in Ohio? I presume.
No, I actually had not heard of Wegmans because I had never been up here before.
Kroger's?
I mean, I've been
there?
In New York City, but many times, but not on this part of the state.
Right.
Yeah, so I had not heard of them. Which surprisingly, there are a lot of people in Columbus with connections to this area. And people started talking about Wegmans. When I told them I was moving, they're like, oh, there's Wegmans there. And I go, what's that? Right. So yeah. And I right now shop at the one on Long Pond Drive, Long Pond Road. Cause it's close, you know, but I've checked out a couple of the other ones. So I see that there is a great variety in their, what they offer. So it's a fun place to go. But I am looking forward to doing some other things here. You know, I love theater. I've been involved in theater for a long time. And I can't wait to start going to shows here, maybe getting involved. I also am kind of an artist of sorts. I like to make handmade books and altered books. And my husband makes jewelry. Actually, he made my rings that I'm wearing now.
Wow.
And so, yeah. So I'm eager to check out art classes and things like that here once we can. I really haven't really eaten in that many restaurants. So yeah.
We're happy to have you here. I'll put together a list offline, 'cause there's a million great places for art, theater, food, and simply put, everything is a mess right now. I promise Rochester is lively.
Actually, you know, I'll be honest with you, coming here and meeting people, I've been on a lot of Zooms. I'm involved in the August group, which people may or may not know what that is, but it's a very large networking group with subgroups. And if you look it up online, you will find it. There are a lot of job seekers in the group. I am a member of the Rochester Women's Network, and I am on their membership committee right away. I just would love to, if there are any women watching this, it's really a great group. A lot of it is social. Good people there. But yeah, I was going to say that the people that I've met so far, all on Zooms, you know, mostly, very much like the people in Ohio, really, you know, in Columbus, actually. I feel right at home here because of that. And also because the weather is quite similar, you know, and actually it snowed a lot in Columbus over the last few days. So oh, it's 400 miles away. It's really not that far.
Yeah. You know? Not far from home at all.
And of course I do want to say also that I do want to get to know the Jewish community here a little better as well. You know, and I invite anyone who is watching this to reach out to me. We'd love to meet you.
Yeah. Sounds great. Hey, welcome to Rochester. We appreciate you being here. You're coming in. You can play a mentorship role to many of the job seekers in our community. I'm a podcast listener. I'm a big reader. I like watching videos. I'll sign up for a course every 3 to 4 months to try to stay sharp on whatever I'm working on. So a lot of my mentorship comes from just education and learning from people that don't even know they're mentoring me. You're now in a little bit more of a mentorship role, but I'm wondering if currently or maybe sometime in the past, have you had a mentor yourself, and what do you do to stay chipper and educated?
Well, I tend to, like you, consume a lot of things like podcasts and books, but I also attend a lot of workshops and professional development events in my industry. And I also have a lot of professional friends who are, I call them colleagues. It's a very supportive industry, and I have made some great professional friendships. And I consider the other people who help job seekers to sort of be my mentors, especially people who've been doing it longer. We really do help each other a lot because we're very serious about doing this work well, and we want to help people. So yeah. And I think really I admire anyone who's in business, because this stuff is not easy, you know? And I have learned a lot from other people who are on their own doing things, you know, you, for instance.
I was going to say, you know, I did the weird route where instead of perfecting my resume, which I actually did work on, and perfecting my LinkedIn profile, which is okay. And then I started a job search and didn't land the job I want. So I did everything wrong in theory. I like to see it as a blessing. I started my own company. So for all I know, my profile, my resume, it all stinks. I don't recommend doing what I did. If you like working for someone else and having more comfort and stability in a system. So yeah, you're a better research for that kind of recommendation and that advice than someone like me that was like, screw the resume, I'll just start my own.
I'll tell you, some of the people that I work with are so gifted in their industries and so experienced that they actually do decide, because they've gotten some consulting work already, that they're just going to keep going with that. And I also have helped them create, you know, documents that describe what they do within their consulting, so they can use those to get work. But yeah, it's really not for everybody. It's not for the faint of heart, as they say. I also want to tune in on something that you just said about, I didn't get the job I wanted. I must have been doing everything wrong. Truthfully, this is not a science. And you really don't, sometimes you just do not know why you didn't get hired. You could have had the most wonderful resume, hitting all the marks. You could have had a great interview. They really liked you, but then maybe there was something you didn't know about. They may have had an internal candidate already chosen. Maybe they decided not to hire somebody for that role. Maybe it was a budget decision. Maybe it's the phase of the moon that day. I mean, you just really don't know sometimes. So that's why I tell people, just please don't take it personally. Learn what you can and move on to the next one.
Hey, I've been there. I'm not going to call companies out, but I was working two jobs. I landed a job that was paying basically both of those first two part-time jobs in just itself. They loved me. They were excited. They were like booking to have me come out to like Ohio or Pittsburgh or something for training. And I put in my 2 weeks. I'm done working. Like, I'm ready to go. I have a few days off before I ship out to Ohio, or I think it was Pittsburgh actually. And I get a phone call, you know, Ben, we really screwed up. There's actually an internal candidate in the area that we already promised this role to. And unless you're willing to relocate, you know, just due to the F, and they were very apologetic, but just like that, after putting my 2 weeks in, oh my gosh, I'm unemployed. So I've experienced that where, yep, I'd like to think I did everything right, and for whatever reason, it didn't work out. And, you know, someone's watching over me. It was probably not a good fit anyways.
Well, that's the other thing. You know, if you don't get a job, sometimes it's a blessing, especially if you come out of an interview with kind of a weird feeling about it.
Sure.
I mean, you shouldn't ignore your gut because it can tell you a lot.
Yeah. Like, you get a phone call and say, hey, we actually aren't going with you, but you can relocate. Maybe you shouldn't relocate for that company. Maybe they don't have your best interest.
Well, yeah, I would be asking some questions in that situation. I'd be like, huh, did they know this all along, or what was going on here?
Never thought about that.
Yeah. I don't know. That's the thing though. You can't really make yourself crazy thinking about this stuff because it's a negative. You need to just move on, take a deep breath. Self-care when you're looking for a job is huge. Mm. You know, get some exercise, take a break if you feel you need it.
Hey, I almost feel like this has been a therapy session and I got the weight off my chest. I'll sleep great tonight. And a lot of people at home, I don't hope that you've been in the same position, but I know that many people have been.
Oh yeah.
And everything you've said really gives solace to the fact that sometimes it's not you. Sometimes it's situational. Sometimes it's not a good fit. So.
No, this is true.
Thank you for that. I want to keep it lighthearted. I want to move to the rapid fire round. You can fill in the blank, but I just ask either or questions to get to know Ruth a little bit better. So,
all right.
It's the morning time. Are you drinking coffee or tea?
Really, it's kind of a 50-50 there. I like both.
Not a bad answer. What about nighttime? Do you drink? Do you like wine, beer, anything like that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, unfortunately.
What's
your favorite? My husband is a master cocktail designer. Mm.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah. I'm not going to say anything else about that. We all know how COVID has been.
Hey, no, I love a good, even if you're not a big drinker, do you want the $3 well rum and coke or do you want a fine cocktail? I think I'm going for the fine cocktail.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
What about seasons? We have a sunny day, but it's winter. Do you have a favorite time of year?
I like cold weather.
You like
the I know. I don't, you know, I'm crazy.
There's always a follow-up question to that. So you like cold weather.
Yeah.
Why?
Well, for one thing, I'm warm a lot of the time. Mm. So frankly, from a practical perspective, I feel comfortable in the winter. So of course I like it.
You probably like to bundle up a little bit or.
I actually don't mind. I like, my husband and I were just out last weekend taking a walk in a park in the snow, and I really like it. I'm refreshed by the cold weather, and I love winter clothes. I love the scarves, the hats, the boots, and I also just like the coziness of winter. I like to come home after being outside and have hot chocolate and bundle up and sit with my sweetheart. So I like, you know, we don't have a fireplace right now, but I do like that. We have a fire pit that we've used outside at night already. Nice. In the winter. I don't know. I just, and maybe it's because my people come from, you know, Russia and other cold places. So maybe it's in my DNA. I don't know.
Yeah, it's in your DNA. You're already from the Northeast. You don't mind the cold. You'll be able to handle the lake effect snow. You are perfect for Rochester.
But I don't ski. No, because I'm risk averse.
Fair enough. I don't ski either. I want to get into snowboarding, but yeah, skiing, I don't know. I don't want to get on a tangent about how much of a scaredy cat I am, but.
Yeah, well, you and me both, so.
Well, Ruth, you've been awesome. If my business fails, I'm going to call you. My goal is that it doesn't fail. But really, if anybody is looking to refine their presence online, the way they're found, their first impression when they're looking for a job, maybe they're ultimately, a lot of these people are super awesome professionals, right? And their only issue is getting in the door with the right people.
Oh yeah.
You're the one to help them do that, it sounds like. And I'm wondering, how do people get in touch with you? Do you like to connect on LinkedIn, email, phone call, your website? What
really
action
anywhere.
Steps can we do?
Anywhere.
So just look for you online. But
yeah, and I'm telling you,
one major thing.
I'm on that thing all the time. Mm. So go ahead and just make a connection with me and message me. Because I'm one of those people who's pretty open. You know, I'll connect with you. Okay, sure. If I have a second, I'll stop and talk to you. You know, I am in the middle of a rebrand right now, but my new website is going to be under the URL confidentcareersearch.com.
I like that. That's good branding. I love it. It's got a ring.
Thank you.
So confidentcareersearch.com is under branding, but you can look up Ruth on LinkedIn.
I'll put
your link in the show notes, the links below, so people can check it out there.
I want to say all my contact information is on my profile. If you click that contact info button, you're going to find my phone number and everything in there.
Yeah. At the end of the day, if you can't go to the show notes and click that link, we can't help you. So go click the link, connect with Ruth. Any last words, whether it's just some guidance where I can have a good day, people at home can have a good day, or maybe a tip that we didn't touch on to help us win this week and, you know, just help us win as business professionals?
Well, I like to say, don't take life so seriously. That's the thing. Sure, there are aspects of life that are serious, but you really can work yourself up into a frenzy. Understand that everything in life is about people, and people are imperfect. And there's no 100% correct answer. You just have to be able to talk about your perspective and how you think you can help. And that's really a lot of what will help you be successful.
Spot on, Ruth. Thank you again for taking some time with us today.
Thanks for inviting me. This is really fun.
Thanks for listening to Rochester Business Connections. Don't forget to share this, rate, and comment on your favorite platform. You can also email me, ben@valbertmarketing.com. Let's connect soon. Until then, keep thriving, everyone.